preached for 6 hours the last time he was up here. And not really. I guess I'm going to have to quit joking him about that. I guess I'm a big jokester, but it's good to have him and his wife with us today in the house of God. And I trust the Lord will bless them for being here, and I trust the Lord will use him in tonight's service to be a blessing to those of us that know the Lord. And if you're not saved, I trust God might use him tonight to preach the gospel to you. Amen. Now, I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles again today to the Song of Solomon and chapter number 2. We have preached down through chapter number 1 and preached all 17 verses of that chapter. And then on last Sunday, we looked, or 2 weeks ago really, we looked at the Rose of Sharon and the Lily of the Valley. I probably could have elaborated on verse number 1 a little more. But I trust the Lord will help us this morning. I don't want to bog down too much in the book. I want to try to preach through it as God leads. And I want to ask you to be a praying about something. God's still a dealing with me about the book of Hebrews. After preaching chapter 11, the first 6 verses, and then going back and preaching 6 chapters of it, I feel like the Lord may be leading me to get quite studious and go back to chapter 1, pick up all over and preach through the entire book again. It's a tremendous book that is a dark shadow to most Baptists, just like the book of the Revelation. And I hope the Lord will give me some truths out of it that will shed some light on your life and will help you in your pilgrimage on this earth. All right. By the way, the Song of Solomon is not a shallow book in itself. And you pray that God will help me. I'm not that deep of a preacher. I'm just not. But I got to take what God gives me and try my best to bring some truths to you that I hope will help you folks. And God has really touched my heart lately, and I mean that. I'm just telling you my heart to try to be a blessing to our church and try my best to see you mature and grow and come along in God, that you'll be able to withstand some of the trials and some of the difficulties of life that is sure to come upon the earth. Now, we're not going through the tribulation, but I'm going to tell you what, we're not going into the tribulation by the poof theory. I'm talking about we're gone and it's here. No, sir. Everything in life comes about in a gradual way. And the tribulation period, the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience and the spirit of iniquity that doth already is already working in our land, in the world. And it's not going to be just poof, we're gone, and poof, it's here. There's going to be some trials and some tribulations and some uncertain times that we're going to have to face as children of God. And I hope that God will prepare us for that. Okay? Song of Solomon, chapter number 2 and verse 1. Let's stand together, please, this morning. We're going to do chapter 2 as we did chapter 1. And we're going to read, as we read it, we'll read all the chapter and stop at the verse of our text. And try to bring the thought there that the Lord has laid upon our heart. Okay? Let's read verse number 1. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. Now may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word this morning. Heavenly Father, we're thankful today for Your rich love, for Your mercy, and for the grace of God. Thank God that Thy grace that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. And it teaches us, Lord, that we should deny ungodliness and worldly lust, and that we should live a sober, righteous life in this world today. I pray as we look at this verse of Scripture this morning that You'll remind us, Lord, of where You brought us from, where You've taken us to, and just how great the Son of God really is. I pray that You'll bless Your people. May today old sinners see light and come to a saving knowledge of the Son of God. Help me not to tarry any longer today than is necessary, but help me to say everything that the Holy Ghost has laid upon my heart. And I pray You empower me And God, that You'll provide the liberty this morning to say what needs to be said to Your people. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. Now, as we continue our verse-by-verse study of Solomon's songs, I want once again to remind you of the holy nature of the Song of Solomon. The old Jewish writers and we alike consider all the Bible to be holy. But they considered the Song of Solomon to be the holy of holies. It could be compared to that holy place in the tabernacle that the veil separated between it and the outer court. It is there where God resides. It is there we find the Shekinah glory of God. Now, I want to say, church, and this is not in my thoughts, but I want to say this morning, if there was ever an hour of Christendom that God's people need the glory of God, it is today. And I do believe that before the rapture of the church takes place, that we're going to experience once again a tad bit of the glory of God. Somebody said, what do you base that on, preacher? The glory of God we saw when God gave the law to Moses. And that is a glorious thing. And if the administration of the law was a glorious thing, how much more glorious should the ministration of the Holy Spirit be? Then secondly, we saw the glory of God when our Lord was birthed and other places. I'm just the highlight. But when our Lord was birthed into this world, the glory of God overshadowed that holy place in that manger where our Lord was brought into the world. When He gave the power to the church of the living God in Acts chapter number 2. The glory of God once again fell. And I want to say that I do believe before that we're caught out of this world, we're going to see the glory of God fall once again upon God's people. Somebody said, preacher, I don't like the glory. Then step outside and let me have yours. I like it. Amen. That's right. I like to get under the spout where the glory runs out. And somebody said, preacher, are you talking about shouting and all this? No, not necessarily. But I am told when the glory comes, there will be an unusual power of Almighty God. Amen. There will be confession of sin and cleansing of heart and getting right with God. Now, I'm telling you, that's why most folks do not want the glory, is because they do not want the convicting power of the Holy Ghost that comes along with it. But I want the glory. I don't know about you. I want to be made right, and I want to be full of power. And I do believe when the Holy Ghost comes, my friend, to call us out of this world, that the power and the glory of God will be residing upon the church. Hey, He gave the church power. Why in heaven's name should we leave this world defeated and despondent? No, sir. We're going out of this world with victory in our hearts and grace in our souls and praise in our lips to the glory and honor of God, to the One that loved us and died for us on Mount Calvary. Bless His wonderful name. The glories are coming. Amen. Amen. Jewish writers considered this book to be the holy of holies. Amen. In the Word of God. And it is, because it parts the veil and gives glimpses of His glory and grace that is found nowhere else in the Bible. It is a song of love. It is a song of redemption. It reveals Christ's love and Christ's devotion and His intimate communion with His bride, which is the church. Now, if you noticed in verse 1, the Lord is there speaking. And He calls Himself the Rose of Sharon and the Lily of the Valley. In verse 2, our Lord is yet speaking. And there He compares you and I as a lily amongst the thorns. If God would be my helper this morning. Oh, and I hope that He will. But if God would be my helper this morning, I want to try to preach for a little while on living among the thorns. Living among the thorns. He said, as a lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. I want to say to you today that God has declared you and I to be a lily. And that lily, my friend, is blooming among the thorns. In this very life that we're living in today, we're living among the thorns. Just a little old tender, delicate, beautiful, fragrant lily living in a briar patch, surrounded by a world of sin, iniquity, ungodliness. But I'm glad, thank God, that He's put His stamp of approval upon us and has enabled us, my friend, to send forth a fragrance in this life, even dwelling among the thorns. God has allowed us to be holy and pure to His honor and His glory. What a God. Hallelujah. Living among the thorns. Now notice, first of all, that He sets forth the bride as a lily, and in doing so, He identifies, or He is identifying Himself with the church. Hallelujah to God. For in verse 1, He said, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. And here He is identifying Himself with us. I'm glad, thank God, that He is not ashamed of me this morning. Somebody said, but preacher, you were a vile, wretched, ungodly sinner. Oh, that's true. But I want to remind you that I've been to the fountain that's filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. I've plunged beneath that fountain. And my friend, when I came up, my soul had been purified in the blood of the Lamb. And now I bear the garments of His righteousness. Amen to God. I'm clean and pure because I've been the Calvary. Oh yes, I was black, but now I'm comely. I was vile, but now I'm pure. And He is not ashamed of me today. He identifies Himself. He said, as I am a lily, so are you a lily among the thorns. He is not ashamed of His own. Some of you need to learn that. That's right. Some Baptists need to learn that. We drop our heads. Amen. We drop our heads and bow our heads like we're, my God, like we're nobodies. And let the world revile us, trample on us. Amen to God. But I'm here to tell you, my friend, that my faith will overcome the world. And my faith will overcome the pricks of the thorns that have me surrounded this morning. And I can't live in victory for the glory of God. Now, He's not ashamed of us. The Bible said in Hebrews 2:11, for both He that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one. He that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all one. Hey, look up here this morning. We are as He. He is as we are. We are all one. How could He be to be ashamed of us? He'd have to be ashamed of Himself. Oh no, He's not ashamed of Himself. He said that as He is a lily, so are we a lily this morning. As He is pure, so are we pure. As He is holy, so are we holy. Hallelujah to God. He's not ashamed. He's not ashamed to call them brethren. Hallelujah to God. I'm glad He calls me His brother. I've got some brothers in this life I'm pretty ashamed of. They live like the devil. That's because they are of their father, the devil. Now, I'm a tad bit ashamed of their life. style and the way they live. But I tell you, friend, He is not ashamed to call you and I His brethren this morning. He identifies Himself with us. And I'm going to tell you something else. Tonight, when that little sweet girl comes up out of that water, she will be identifying herself with the Lord as He was buried and rose from the grave. Even so, water baptism, my friend, will identify her with the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. But it don't stop there. She's to walk a new life. And if she don't take a new life, there's never been a change. She'll just go down a wet center and come up a dry center and come up a wet one. That's right. Amen. Now, He's not ashamed of us, but I want to say that I'm not ashamed of Him. That's right, son. I'm not a bit ashamed. Somebody said, oh, I'm going to tell you, it bothers me. It bothers me when Baptists out in public can't even bow their redeemed heads and pray out loud and thank God for their food. Amen to God. Afraid somebody in there is going to hear what they're saying. I'm going to tell you what I've done before. I have sat down in a restaurant before, buddy, beside folk, and them get their food before I do, and they pray. Or they don't pray, they just dive in and eat it. They'll bring my Miss Hall's food. I bow my head and begin to grace my food. I'll say, Lord, I want to thank You for the food You give them heathen next door too, because they didn't have enough grace or enough sense about them to even grunt like a hog does when slop poured in front of them. Oh, yes, sir. Folks ashamed of Him can't testify. Right, somebody said, preacher, do you have Scripture that we ought to be ashamed of Him? For the Scripture saith. In Romans, my friend, 10:11, for the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. And I'm telling you, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That I ain't ashamed of Him. I'm not ashamed to be identified with Jesus. I'm not ashamed to be identified with the church. I'm not ashamed to be identified with the brethren. This is my crowd. This is my people. Heaven is my home. I'm just a stranger passing through. And while I'm a passing through, I'm a lily, a living among the thorns in this life. Now stay with me. He not only sets forth the bride as a lily, but as a lily among thorns. Amen. Now you need to get a hold of that. Amen. A lily as a lily among thorns. So is my love. Amen. Among the daughters. I'll tell you, there's been a whole lot said about thorns lately. Huh? I don't think it's a coincidence. Doc Brown preached on them a week ago Friday night. Huh? On them thorns. I'm telling you, the more I studied for this message, it seemed like the more confused I got. Because everywhere I looked, I saw thorns. All in the Bible. I saw thorns out yonder for the lost. I saw thorns around the saved. I saw thorns here and thorns there. Everywhere you look in the Bible, I saw a crown of thorns on the head of the Son of God. Everywhere you look, there's thorns, thorns, and more thorns. I'm going to tell you why, friend. In the book of beginnings, you will find the first time thorns are mentioned. Huh? And I'm going to tell you what they're identified with. The curse. Thorns are a type, or they represent the curse of God upon this earth. Amen to God. Thorns are a manifestation of the curse that men live under. Genesis 3:18, thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth. To who, Adam? To somebody else? To thee, Adam. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth. To thee, Adam. Bring it forth where, God? In the world, Adam. Bringeth forth thorns in the world. And God has redeemed us and made us a child of God. But we're yet not. We are purified and we're holy. But we're yet living surrounded by the curse of God. I'm going to tell you something too. I don't want to get ahead of myself. It's a dangerous thing. We are surrounded. Everywhere you turn is the curse. And the curse of sin that is upon this earth. Oh yes. That curse. What about that curse? We're living amongst the curse. But I thought about this. Blessed be His wonderful name. He was made a curse for you and I, for it is written, cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, my friend, that God, in the person of Christ, as lovely as He was, as pure and as holy as He was, came down amongst the thorns where you and I were dwelling in the curse of sin. I'm going to tell you this morning, He was never pricked. He was never pricked until He went to Calvary, where sin and the curse on Calvary pricked the darling Son of God. Oh, but I'm telling you, my friend, in our redemption, He came down among the thorns where we were and brought us out. That's His wonderful name. Hallelujah to God. Cry living among the thorns. Jesus came right to where you were. I don't know how He done that. I don't know if He made a thorn. See, I don't know if He made a thorn a lily. I don't know that. I don't know how that works. But I do know, my friend, that thorns are a curse that sprung from the earth. And our Lord Jesus was made to be a curse for us. God damned Him. Tell you, some of you dead beats need to get a hold of that. Christ was damned for you. God damned His soul. Condemned Him to hell. But He had power, my friend, to shake sin off of Him and raise again from death, hell, and the grave. And He's got the keys, all of them, about His girdle. Bless His holy name. He was made to be a curse for us. I want to say, too, that lilies bloom in the month of April. Huh? They bloom in April. Now, look here. I don't know if Jesus was born in December. But I do know that is a perfect Lamb of God. He was offered on the 14th day of our month, April. Yes! And 3 days later, the lily bloomed. And the lily of the valley got up out of the darkest valley man ever walked in. Amen to God. And He's got a bunch of little lilies that He's bringing along behind Him. Hallelujah to God. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying resurrection power. Son, we have been resurrected. Dead brought to life. Death brought to life. Amen. Like Brother Steve said in Sunday school, brought us out of darkness into a place of joy, which is the glorious light of Almighty God. No wonder He said that word was joy. It is joy to be brought from darkness unto light, that you may walk in the glorious light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus, as He has redeemed you from the curse of the thorns. Just like Moses, when Moses saw God in that burning bush, it was a bramble, it was a thorn bush. And God's fire burnt in the middle of it. And yet it was not consumed. Son, that little bush is a type of Israel, the sinner. And that light, that fire, a type of God in His redeemed. He came into the thorn bush to redeem it and to purify it without consuming it. I want to tell you something this morning, Brother Steve. The trials won't hurt you. The fires will never burn you. They'll just consume the dross. Amen to God. I'm about to run my head through a wall. Oh, yes, they have just consumed the dross and burn it away and make you pure, holy, not only in your soul, but in this life as you live among the thorns. God will make you pure and white and holy as you live among the thorns, that you may be a witness to those around you. I'm feeling pretty good. Our life is surrounded by the curse. Throw lilies among the thorns. Go down here at the Paradise Club. You better not go down there and let me find out about it. I said that figuratively. You'll find the curse. Huh? If you'd have been wherever they were playing that basketball game yesterday, I kept hearing on the Taylor's radio station, you would have seen the curse. Drive up to the grocery store and see the curse. Buy a newspaper and see the curse. That's right. Drive down the street. Rub shoulders with the curse. I'm telling you, on every hand, every turn that we make, there is a thorn, a briar, that is ready to prick us and stick us and gouge us. But we are living as a lily among the thorns. And I want to say this, very tender, very fragile. That little lily is so tender and fragile, and it is no match for the thorns. But I'm glad, thanks be unto God, that I've got my own hedge about me that protects me from the thorns. Is that right? We lived in Tucson. Thought about this the other night when Doc Brown was preaching. We lived in Tucson. They got them big saguaro cactuses. Some of them are giants. I mean, they're 50, 60 feet tall. Some of them, most of them, 25, 30 feet tall. They got out there what's called the little wren, cactus wren. The little bird. He'll get on the sides of one of them big saguaro cactuses. He'll just get it right on, hang on that side and peck and peck and peck. Peck him out a little hole back in there and gather him some straw and stuff and put back in that hole, make him a little nest. Somebody said, why? Well, he's in there among the thorns. Now, there's a big thorn that roams the deserts out west called a rattlesnake. He loves cactus rims. But I'm going to tell you what. That's a wild cactus, and the thorns that protrude from it are a little too tough for Mr. Rattlesnake. Now, I'm going to tell you, my friend, although we're dwelling among the thorns, God uses the very thorns that we dwell around to be a hedge about us. My friend, that the devil and sin cannot molest us while we wait there on Christ to come and call us out of this sin-cursed world we're living in. Laban, life among the thorns. The lily among the thorns. Now I've got to hurry. I've got to hurry. Not only do thorns represent the curse, but also that which proceeds from the curse, namely sin. See, what came from the curse was sin. God cursed Adam. Cursed the ground. Cursed the world. We're cursed. And what proceeds from the curse is sin. You can't get away from it. Friend, you are a sinner. I'm a sinner. Sin is in the world. Look around you. Drinking, vice, whoremongering, prostitution, pornography, adultery. It's all in the world. It's sin. And I'm telling you, it's sin. It has surrounded the saints of God. And we're like a little lily, my friend, surrounded by the sharp thorns of sin on every side. And they long to prick your side. They long to grieve your heart. They long to sadden your heart. They long to defeat and whoop you and drag you down. But I'm telling you, on the authority of the Word of God, we can still live in victory among the thorns. That's right. Huh? Sin. Sin, not only in the world, but in our members, is like pricks in our eyes. Everybody wants to look at it. What are you looking at? Oh, nothing. I wasn't looking at nothing. Lying devil, you was looking at that half-naked woman. We've had preachers confess that they can't drive by billboards without looking at billboards. Are you hearing what I'm telling you this morning? I'm talking about them thorns that like to prick your eyes. Huh? They'll prick your eyes. They'll stick you in the side. They'll grieve and disturb. Does it not, does sin not disturb you? If it don't, I have to make a suggestion to come on to an old altar and beg God for forgiveness and trust Him to save your wretched soul today. I'm going to tell you, we're fixing to make a cleaning here, buddy. Running up a highway with my boy yesterday. He put on, I said, Dad, I want you to listen to this. I never heard such a mess in my life that they call gospel music. And I said, my God, son, it grieved me. It's going on, I don't know, they sound like a bunch of cackling geese, like a bunch of morons screaming and bawling. I couldn't even understand the words they were saying. I said, boy, turn that mess off. I said, what in the world are you doing playing that? He said, Pop, I bought it out of your radio station. Well, I'm going to tell you one thing, friend, as soon as I find them, there'll be no more of them bought out of the radio station. In fact, there's going to be some of them here, I'm hearing back there, that's getting the green axe. I'm telling you, son, I've lived too long, I guess, because sin grieves my heart. It disturbs my soul. It bothers me. I don't like to be around it. I don't like to see it, and I don't like to hear it. That's right. That's right. These thorns of sin, we're living amongst the thorns. These thorns of sin, they tempt us and entice us and lead us astray. We're living amongst it. Somebody said, I've never been tempted. You are a lying, getcha, gotcha, and your mammoth don't want you. If you're saved, you have been. Huh? Oh, yes, I know you have. Because that sin dwells in your members and pricks your eyes. Oh, yeah! The soul is sealed unto the day of redemption. And I personally believe that the spirit of man that is sealed unto the day of redemption, it cannot sin because his seed remaineth in us and we cannot sin. That is why we're sealed unto the day of redemption. Now I'm telling you, this old body of clay that I'm dragging around is yet temptable. It is yet ungodly. I have sin in my members and lust in my members. And the things that I would do, I can't do because sin dwells within me. If you think your flesh has been made perfect, you better check up in the Bible. Huh? Now, don't nobody leave me. Hey, what about Samson's thorn? Huh? Lust for women. He looked at a prostitute and he got her. And it was a woman by the name of Delilah that cost him his power. And by the way, I'm going to tell you where Samson's power was at. Somebody said it was in his hair. Wrong. Somebody said when they cut it off, he lost his power. Oh, yeah. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. He had a source that hair grew from, and it was called his head. And I'm going to tell you where Samson's power was at. In his head. And I'm going to tell you, that's not his head, his head. Amen. Who is the head of all principalities and powers? I'm saying his power was in Christ, the same place our power comes from. Oh, my friend, they cut off his hair. They thought he had it, but that source of power grew it again. I'm here to tell you these times when the devil, when sin will tempt us and we'll think that our power is gone, but it won't be long until the head will grow the power all over again. That's right. What about that lust in the world? I'm going to tell you, it's a sin to be reckoned with today, buddy. Men setting their eyes on women and women setting their eyes on men. Pure with the lips and whoremongers in the heart. Well, I wish I could have that woman, but I can't. I'm married. Wish I could have that man, but I can't. I'm married. I owe allegiance to my husband. Adulterer. You just committed adultery in your heart. You just committed adultery in your heart. Thorns living amongst the thorns. Don't go away. I'm fixing to give you something here. God, give me. Huh? What about Achan's thorn? That love for possession. Saw that Babylonish garment, the wedge of gold, and he just couldn't resist it. He had to have it. Lust and love for possession. Give me this, give me that. If I can't have it, I'll throw a temper tantrum. If God don't give it to me, I'll throw a temper tantrum and have a fit. God, have mercy on us. Amen. I'm going to say this, and if you don't like it, you can lump it. When you get up here to be the pastor, you can say it. We had an individual here not long ago now. Telling some of our ladies, all you had to do was pray. God give you anything you wanted. Pray for gold, He'd give you gold. Pray for diamonds, He'd give you diamonds. Pray for a new house, He'll give you a new house. Pray anything you want, just pray for it. If it's in your heart and a desire in your heart, God will give it to you. I would hate to think that the desires of my heart were wrapped up in gold and silver. Amen. And precious stones. Well, I'm going to tell you why. Those things cannot redeem you. But I have been redeemed, not with corruptible things as silver and gold, but by, amen, the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. That is the desire of my heart. I'm going to tell you something. If God gives it to you, praise Him for it and go on. But I'm going to tell you what I learned a long time ago. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Achan's sin. Maybe Achanus. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm trying to keep our folks from running into a brick wall somewhere down the road. I'm going to tell you where that mess heads to. In Jesus' name, I command you. Health and wealth, command and get. Son, I don't know about you, but Gary Hall is an unworthy sinner saved by the grace of God that God found buried in dung over His eyeballs in a hill of dung. Amen. Polluted in my own blood in the field. Amen. And brought me alive. And son, when I had nothing, whoo! I found a treasure. I was reading a story the other night. It wasn't even a thought I'm going to use. I was reading a story, a message, something somebody was reading. It might have been Spurgeon. And here's what he said. He said, this old poor beggar, farmer man, had leased a field from a very wealthy man. And was out plowing in that field and said his old mule was a plow and said he was plowing along and said all at once that old plow that he had said it hit something in that field and just bucked up on him. And he thought, well, my goodness. And he backed up and like a good preacher would, he buried the plow a little deeper and hit her again and it just bucked on him again. So he pulled the plow back and said, got the mule aside and got down there and got to digging and he found a great big crockery pot with a lid on it. He opened that crock up and it was just full of gold. Just full of gold. All kind of gold. Somebody said, oh, that's what I want. All the gold I can get. But I'm going to tell you something as a problem. That gold didn't belong to him. That gold belonged to the man that owned the field. So he went to the man that owned the field. Said, sir, would you sell me that field? The man had no idea the gold was there. He said, yes, sir. He said, I'll sell you that field. I've got this. He said, I don't believe you can afford it. But I'll sell you that field, and here's how much I want for it. The story said that man that plowed up that gold said he went and took his house and he sold it. He took all of his furniture, took everything that it had, all that he possessed, gave everything. He just sold everything that he had, just got rid of everything and sold it all till he didn't have nothing but the clothes on his back, him and his wife's back. And he went back to that man and had the money and said, "Sir," said, "I've now got the money. I want to buy that field." The man sold him the field, signed the deed over to him. He was the owner of the field. You know what he'd done? He took the gold. Amen. Went back and bought his house. Back and bought his clothes, bought his furniture, bought everything that he had, and he yet had plenty left over. Woo! Glory to God. I'm here to tell you, my friend, that's the way an old sinner comes to God. He finds the gold in the Lord Jesus and just sells everything that he has that he might have the gold. But when he gets the gold, God may give him everything back that he has. I'm going to tell you, I ain't done yet. Thorns. Lily among the thorns. What about Eli's? What about Eli's thorn? You know what it was? He neglected his family. Now you just go on. Just go on like some of you's running. Don't pay your wife a bit of attention. Don't ever tell your wife you love her. Don't ever spend no time around your family. Don't ever bring that wife candy, or don't ever put your arm around her, show her no affection. Go on, just all that. Don't ever show your kids any affection. I mean, just go on and neglect them. Stay gone all the time. If I was some of you men, I'd get a job and work 26 hours a day and just stay gone all the time. But I'm going to tell you what you'll find. You'll find that your sons wind up like Eli's boys. Whoremongers sitting on the pew of the church. I'm going to tell you what, friend. You better be like Noah and get concerned about your youngins. That thorn of sin, of neglect. Just like the little bride said. She said, "I have kept the vineyards of my sister, my mother's daughter, but my own vineyard." I'm going to tell you, there's some laying out of the house of God this morning that ought to be in church. Oh, yeah. Somebody said, "Preacher, you ought to say that." Oh, yeah. I'm going to say that. They got a great big thorn rammed right in their side, honey. Oh, yes. And I'm going to tell you what, it may be fun and games now, but there's coming a day when that little youngin is cast into hell without God and without hope. And it would to God that you took time to get your family to the church house and not preaching. Somebody said, "Well, they don't anything ever go on at our church." Then God be a liar if it don't. Because my Bible tells me that His Word will accomplish everything that He sends it out to accomplish. Everything. I'll tell you what some of His problem is. You got your eyes set on this bunch of easy believism crowd. Gimmick crowd that brings in crowds by riding jackasses and donkeys and playing basketball, baseball, softball, bingo and all that mess. Oh yeah. And bring the kiddies on in. What do you got down at your church? We've got a tremendous basketball team. We have got a basketball team in our Christian school. Yeah, I'm turning out a bunch of ignoramuses, a bunch of illiterate morons, and a bunch of spiritual ignoramuses. Somebody said, oh, that's the society that we're living in. Somebody said, "Preacher, I don't like what you're saying. We're a lily. When will you get a hold of that? It is not peaches and cream all around us. There's thorns that are just waiting to pluck you in the side and drag you down to nothing." What about Cain's thorn? Jealousy. Lily among the thorns. "Well, I just don't get the same as much as so-and-so does. And I don't get the recognition." Somebody, "Well, God bless your little heart now. Just lay right over here. I'll use Benny for an illustration. Let me burp you, my sweetheart. If your belt's checked, come on, get her up. Come on, yeah. I've never seen people that just have to be bragged on and talked about. Huh? Bragged on and talked about. Jealousy. They've got a little bit more than I have. God's blessings are working on them just a little bit more than me." That's exactly what Abel said. Cain said, "Look at that. God has accepted him. Why won't he accept me?
He's given him more than he's given me. What's the problem? I'm going to tell you the problem. That sin lies at the door.
Getting quiet now. What was Israel's thorn? I loathe this white bread. I need water. Where's the meat? You've brought us into the wilderness that we'd die here. There were no graves down in Egypt, Moses, but you brought us out here to die in the wilderness. I'm going to tell you what their sin was. It's a little word called M-U-R-I-N-G. It's spelled murmuring. Griping, murmuring. Complaining, murmur. Now I'm going to tell you what, friend, when they got to Kadesh Barnea, they're murmuring! They're griping! Their bitter spirit and critical attitude kept them out! Canaan's land, God help us. Somebody said, "Preacher, you ain't preaching like I thought you would." I'm preaching exactly like I thought I would. Lily among the thorns. Now, if you're not involved in all that jealousy and all that murmuring and all that neglect and all that lust and all that love for this, I'm going to tell you what you are. You're like a little tender, delicate lily that's bloomed right in the thorns. Huh? Amen. That thorn of sin. But listen to me. Hey, listen to me. Don't nobody leave me now. Some of the writers believe that honeysuckles, they grow all around them thorns. They put off just a, oh, don't they smell so good, just a sweet fragrance. And yet they're growing around all that old hedges. All them old thorns that are growing around. But I'm going to tell you something. Every now and then, everybody will stay right with me now. Every now and then, I'll see one of them little lilies that it seems like the vine has crawled up on a piece of wood or a fence part that it shouldn't have gotten. When all the other little lilies are all blooming over here away from it, just one little lily. And if you look back, there's a big thorn sticking this way, a big thorn this way, and a big thorn this way, and a big thorn straight in, and there's that little lily sitting back in there. Seems like a lot of bad. Everybody else is like, what did I get here? I'm going to tell you what, you wouldn't listen to the preacher. You wouldn't follow God. You wouldn't listen to instruction. You were like Jonah. God would have to take you to the bottom of the sea, my friend. Now, I'm going to tell you what happens to a lot of them little old lily sons and thorns. They get entrapped in amongst the thorns, and there's no way out. Now, I'm telling you, I've watched some people, members of this church, my friend, get out and start dabbling with things against the preaching of the Word of God. That's right, ma'am. And you can see their life of dining and crawling on a little old fence away from all those other little lilies. And it ain't long until their whole life is a mess. And there's no way out without being pricked by all kinds of thorns that are growing in this world that we're living in. Are you listening to me? Entrapped in sin. Can't get out. It's like a giant rope around your neck, or strangling the very breath of life out of it. And then you suddenly you realize that you're like the seed that was sown among thorns. And because of deceitfulness and the lust of riches, it brings forth no fruit for God. Son, it's quiet now. I'm glad it is living. He said, "You're a lily. You're a lily amongst thorns. You're living amongst the curse. You're surrounded by the curse and surrounded by sin. But God has made you a lily. Live like a lily." God, help us. Hopeless position. Huh? Listen, don't leave me now. Not only do thorns represent the curse and the sin of condemnation, but also the world where both curse and sin reside together. Huh? We as a lily, assume the likeness of Christ in this world. You know what John said in his writing in 1 John 3:17? Because as He is, so are we in this world. Not as He was, as He is. So are we in this world. But I'm going to tell you something. How is he?
He was whole, undefiled.
I'm telling you, this television watching, Hollywood going, I heard old Brother Roloff hitting it again yesterday coming in. I'm going to tell you, it blessed my heart. He died in 1982 and he's a busting television. He said there'll never be a revival in America because there's no preachers that'll get up and skin Hollywood like it ought to be skinned. I'm going to tell you something. I've got a brother that's 60 years old, will be 61 the 17th day of this October. He sat in my daddy's hospital room, or convalescent center room the other day, and here's what he told me. He said, look here. He said, I've got more sense. He said, you talk about being saved, but he said, I've got more sense than most folks have. That I've seen, I can see things are coming in America that some of your own people don't even see. I said, tell me about it. He said, all right, I'm glad you will. He said, you want me to tell you what's wrong with America? He said, the rock and roll music that's brought in. He's lost! And he said some of the gospel music, it carries the same beat. That's what's wrong. Hey, and he said, look here. He said little things that a lot of people don't pay any attention to. He said, I've seen it in my own child. I know what I'm talking about. He said, there's a girl down here in Jefferson County School. Come to school one day and she had lipstick on, had it circled with black around her lips. I've seen it right here. Right here. And he said, they put that girl out of school. And the school board said, the parents filed suit. And the school board, their when they come to their conclusion was that black lipstick carried with it the idea of fakeness. And I'm here to tell you, my friend, if carnal-minded secular schools have got more stuff than some Baptist preachers' wives have got, we're living in a sad earth, a lily among the thorns. I want to be like the world. I want to look like them, dress like them, talk like them, act like them, be everything like them except say them. My wife ain't wearing that hellish stuff. I'm not talking about a little makeup. I'm talking about that hellish stuff. Too much makeup. Too much worldliness. A lot of ladies in the church, boy, I say, I don't know why I'm on this, but bless God, I'm on flat. It's been a long time now since I got down and preached on this stuff. You know, I thought, hey, want to just bear a little too much in the front, you know? Just enough to catch a look. I'm going to tell you what it does. It satisfies their carnality and their flesh and their ego. I said, I don't like that. Neither does the devil. I'm going to tell you what we're supposed to do. Listen to what Brother Paul said. He said, do all things without murmurings and disputes, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as light in the world. Oh, there's the word. There's that world. As he is, so are we. Shine and as light in the world. That's God's way to put out of the stink. Hey, and how do you do that? He goes right on to say, I'm going to tell you how he says, he goes right on to say, holding forth the word of life. And you ain't going to compromise that book and shine as light in this world. Hallelujah. I'm about done. Stay with me. Jesus said in Matthew 5:14, you're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let your good work shine. Be benevolent. Do good deeds. Amen! We see our brother in need and shut up our bowels of compassion. How dwelleth the love of God in us? Like Christ was. He came and gave it all looking for nothing in return. I've got to hurry. I'm past my time. I'm just about done. That's the last point. We're getting out earlier than we normally do. Not only do thorns represent the curse and the sin that proceeds from the curse and the world that they dwell in, but also those who are unregenerate, whose end is to be burned. I know Brother Jerry, I ain't worried about it.
there. Huh? I'm going to tell you what, some of us better do more than yawn. Thorns are going to be burned. Huh? Thorns are going to be burned. But that, Paul said, but that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is not as well. Come on back in the house, kid. That which beareth thorns and briars and thorns is rejected. Well, God doesn't reject anybody. I beg your pardon. That which beareth thorns and briars ultimately will be rejected. Whose end is to be burned. I'm here to tell you, friend, there is a devil's crowd all around us. False doctrine, easy believism, false doctrine, desecrating God's day, desecrating the temple, desecrating the ordinances of God, desecrating the book, writing new versions. Oh, I'm telling you, they're everywhere. But look here. We are distinctly different in this world. As a lily among thorns. Son, I'm going to tell you what, a blind man could tell the difference. Because they could smell. Somebody said, oh, that's a good way for a witness. That blind man can smell and honeysuckle in the soul. Oh, yes, sir. There's a difference, friend. We send off a fragrance that dries and thorns and pricks. Can I close with this? How different are we? Now, I want everybody to get a hold of this. God's people are invested. While the unregenerate flesh. And I'm not talking about necessarily lazy in work. I'm talking about slothful and spiritual flesh and matter. Somebody said, preacher, where do you get that? Proverbs 24:30-31. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns. And never covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken back. I'm going to tell you, that's where a lot of church members are living. They're living amongst the thorns and the nettles, and the rock wall is broken back. And you're just waiting for the harvest, friend, to be down in the bundle and to be burned without God and without God. There's a difference. A saved person is perfect in that book. It is your life blood. Somebody said, oh, preacher, I don't know about that. I'm going to say something. Stop eating, neighbor, and see how long your body lives without food and without water. If you can do without that book, you ain't got nothing. Now, I'm not talking about 3 verses a day either, neighbor. I'm talking about digesting that book. Huh? We've got the analogy, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood. Lie among the thorns. As a lily, we live surrounded by the curse. We live surrounded by sin. We live surrounded by the world. And we live surrounded by sinners who are thorns. Saul was a thorn in David's Eli's boy was a thorn in his side. Cain was a thorn in Adam's side. Absalom was a thorn in David's side. Ishmael was a thorn. Esau was a thorn in Jacob's side. Are you listening to me? Living amongst the thorns. I'm going to preach tonight. I'm going to preach on marks of a real fire. Out of Luke 15, I'm going to preach on Jesus. Let's stand together.
Are you living a little close? Do you feel the fine point of a thorn pricking you in the eyes of lust? You feel them pricking you in your old cold heart? Feel them pricking you in your flesh? Lead me to slay the temptation. Maybe some of you feel it pricking in the heart of unbelief. You're without God and without hope. You need Christ today. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the privilege of preaching the word. Help that you gave me. I do pray that you'll speak now. For truly, salvation is of the Lord. I wouldn't want to pump something out of somebody. It would be vanity. Father, I do long in my heart to see God move. And not just let's come together and preach, but Lord, to see some things accomplished in hearts and lives of people. When people just get on the firing line for God, just get thoroughly right, get fervent, zealous for the Lord. I pray you'll save old sinners today, Lord Jesus. And may your precious, precious name be magnified in our midst, adored and worshipped and glorified. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name for all you do. Amen and amen. What are we going to sing, Brother George? Page 24, the old rugged cross. If God's spoken to your heart while these are praying, you too can come this morning to an old-fashioned altar and do business with God. Let's sing. Sing right out the old rugged cross. Sing right out. What thorn is pricking you this morning? What thorn is pricking your heart? Life amongst the thorns. What thorn is aggravating you? What thorn is grieving you and distressing you and aggravating you and tantalizing you, enticing you? Let's sing one more verse, Brother George. Sing another one. Appreciate the singing. Appreciate you being here this morning. I want you to. Have you got any prayer cards, Brother Bradley? Okay, I want Brother Bradley and his wife stand back there in the back. Just go on back there and shake their hand. They'll be back tonight, but I want you to kind of get to know them and get to know them tonight a little better and pray for the night service, okay? Folks, I tell you, we're living in perilous times. And I'm telling you, the thorns. They're closing in. The curse of this world and the sin of this world is closing in on God's people.
And I know what some of the things I said are not popular, but I'm here to tell you, God's people don't thoroughly get her right with God. I'm going to tell you what, you're going to find yourself a washout down the road. That's right. I know what I'm talking about. I didn't start preaching yesterday. I know what I'm talking about. You can't dabble in some things. You can't fool and play and toy with some things without it. Without, you can't take fire in your bosom without getting burned. It's going to burn you. Can't do it. God bless you. 6 o'clock fire practice. 6:30 preaching. Pray for Brother Bradley.